Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Talentworks podcast. I'm Shukri.
I'm Katrina.
And I'm Helen. BBC Studios is the production part of the BBC Group. So we're not public service. What we do at BBC Studios is we invest in and we produce amazing shows, both for the UK and globally. We make some shows for the BBC, but we also make them for the market, like Netflix, Channel 4, Spotify, Audible. These include Blue Planet,
Pressed,
Killing Eve,
Strictly Come Dancing,
I May Destroy You,
Doctor Who, Top Gear.
BBC Studios Talentworks are a small but mighty development team within BBC Studios. We work cross-genre and cross-platform. We specifically work with emerging talent, so we look to places like Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, people who are writing blogs, maybe people who've got podcasts already, who are storytellers and looking to partner with BBC Studios to tell bigger, bolder stories.
In short, we play Cupid for talent and industry.
And this podcast is about giving the floor to some of those talented creators.
True to form, our guests are going to lead the way.
They are going to be telling us about three pieces of work that have defined their careers so far.
So who have we got today?
Shukri here. It's August 2023 and today I am joined by Shone Ogunchola.
I got tired of like standing in my own way and thinking of excuses why I shouldn't post and compare myself to other people. So I was just like, well, I guess I'm a content creator. I just started calling myself that and I started behaving like one and I started posting.
Shone is a London-based fashion stylist, content creator and, according to her Instagram bio, a proud outfit repeater. Shone shows her followers how to master the skill of luxury dressing without a price tag. She also puts a spotlight on secondhand treasures and vintage gems. Having collaborated with renowned platforms such as Dazed and Pinterest, now, I know Shone as we're collaborating on a project together with Pinterest. The project gives two Pinterest creators the opportunity to work with BBC Studios to develop and produce their very own ideas. So on today's episode, we're going to discuss, firstly, how Shone transitioned from retail fashion stylist to content creator. Next, how she built her Pinterest empire. And finally, how Shone strikes a balance between style and environmental consciousness. Welcome to the Talentworks podcast, Shone.
Thank you for having me, Shukri. I'm very excited to be here.
Oh, we're so happy to have you. So first things first, tell us a little bit about yourself and how we met.
So my name is Shone. I'm a stylist and art director and also a content creator. And we met through this amazing project with BBC Studios Talentworks and Pinterest UK. There was an opportunity for two creators to create mini-series and I put myself forward and I was one of the lucky chosen ones. So here I am.
Boop, boop. Yay. In every episode, we get our guests to choose the three most defining moments of their career. What's your first one?
Okay, so my first one is, it's just a funny get ready with me from online, from the interwebs. So there was a point where I kind of decided that I wanted to get into content creation, like officially. I'd always like posted, you know, images and not really videos, just like pictures and inspiration, like, you know, from having a styling background and just from enjoying fashion. But I'd always like always really, really always wanted to be a content creator. And there were so many amazing creators that I had admired. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to start.
Adding my Uniqlo Plush J men's shirt. Next, I'm going to put on my Frankie Shop vest, which I recently found in the Net-a-Porter sale. Oh, I've got to take these Crocs off. Next, I'm going to add my Calvin Klein boots, which I actually found in TK Maxx years ago. I know. Then I'm going to add my leather blazer that you all just saw me find in the thrift shop. But I'm feeling a little bit mannish and uncle-ish in this, so I'm going to switch to my other blazer and see what that looks like. It's looking all right. Oh, check out the pink lining.
That is so cringe. I'm so sorry.
Oh my God. I love the honesty and also low-key trolling yourself.
I feel that's part of my brand, to be honest. Yeah. That's so funny. I don't even know if I'd wear that outfit anymore. But
oh yeah, I was gonna say, would you still rock this look
in a different way? Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, because my hair was short. That, yeah, when my hair changes, that the style changes.
What made you post this first vid?
I just wanted to. I got tired of like standing in my own way and, you know, thinking of excuses why I shouldn't post and compare myself to other people. I was like, so early 2022, I was just like, well, I guess I'm a content creator. I just started calling myself that and I started behaving like one and I started posting like one, tagging brands, et cetera, et cetera. And then I started a Get Ready With Me series, like 5 days of Get Ready With Me's. And it was something new because I had avoided posting video content because, I don't know, it made me nervous for some reason. I don't know, I felt like I'd be a bit more exposed with video. So I was like, all right, let's do some Get Ready With Me. So I just did some like fun, sped up Get Ready With Me's and like some silly voiceovers. But it really resonated with my teeny tiny following. And people loved it. They found them funny. They found them helpful. And then their feedback like really gave me the confidence to be like, okay, it's not just rubbish. Like it actually is something and people find it helpful and entertaining. And I actually enjoyed doing it as well.
Sometimes you just have to take that leap, don't you?
Yes.
I love that. So as we heard earlier, you managed to inject a lot of personality in your videos. Is this something that you have to like switch on or like think a lot about?
No. And it's, do you know what? It's actually something that I tone down. I was about to say that I have to tone down. I don't have to tone down, but it's something that I'm going to stop trying to tone down moving forward. Because when I like, I do some, and by the way, it's just me in my room or in my living room in front of the mirror or whatever I'm doing. It's me by myself, just chatting with myself. And like, on a normal day, I have an amazing time by myself. I talk to myself. I have inside jokes with myself. We have a great time. But sometimes when I'm like filming and I watch it back, I'm like, let's cut that out. I think that's a bit too much personality. But I don't know. Maybe I'll stop doing that. But no, that's just naturally how I am.
As someone who embraces outfit repetition and switching up accessories to create new looks, how do you encourage others to find their unique style without feeling confined to a particular fashionable trend?
I always just say that people should literally wear whatever they want. Like, it doesn't matter if, you know, the trend is bloke core or the trend is denim maxi skirts. Like, it could be anything. If you want to try it, then you should feel free to try it. But also, if you want to wear black all year round and, like, that's your aesthetic, then that's what you should do. Like, I want people to feel comfortable and inspired when they're watching my content and to leave inspired. I don't ever want to feel preachy or buy this or too much. Just, yeah. And I think, let's be honest here, I feel like sometimes that is a thing that maybe has held me back a little bit in terms of like numbers and growth, but I personally prefer that. And it's a conscious choice because I could be like, oh, you know, link this and buy this and like, but I really try to just say to people like, please don't feel pressured, which is not good for brands. Like the brands want you to sell to people that, yeah, buy this, buy that, buy that. But I just be like, no, you know, if you're interested, here it is. If not, send me a DM or let's chat. Or what do you think about this color combination? Or would you ever try this kind of style, this new trend? It's more I try to inspire as opposed to influence in the traditional way.
So we've all seen some very questionable fashion trends over the years. What's the one trend you secretly tried but now cringe at the thought of?
Okay, I don't have an exact answer to your question, but I swore up and down from school that I would never wear ballet flats ever again, just ever, because I never liked them. I thought they were ugly. The way they were styled out in the world, it was great for other people, but for me personally, as like at that time, it was like skinny jeans and Amy Winehouse, God rest her soul. The aesthetic wasn't aesthetic ink. And I was like, I'm just never going to wear ballet pumps ever again. And then it became a trend for like now, like spring, summer 2023. I was like, I'm not going to wear ballet flats. But lo and behold, guys, I have a pair of ballet flats. I wear them often, but they're different. They're not like the, you know, the regular schmegula ones with the little bow. They're like a bit of a square toe and they have like an anklet detail. So it's a bit different. But that's one thing I generally did always say, you know, I'd wear anything, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But ballet flats, you probably wouldn't catch me in them. And now you can catch me in them all over the internet.
What caused you to accept them into your life?
It was the particular shoe, the specific shoe.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to go online and look for these specific ballet flats now.
I'll send you the link.
Right, let's move on to your next clip.
Okay.
The most significant moment in your career. Talk to us. Tell us about it.
So I would say it was off the back of the 5 days of Get Ready With Me's that I mentioned first. So I had posted those and, you know, I was just posting as normal, like thinking of what to do next or something to get the people involved. And then I got an email from Pinterest like, "Hi, Shoen, we came across your profile. We'd love for you to join us as a Pinterest creator." And then obviously I was like, this is spam. This is clearly spam. I think I honestly maybe had like, I don't know, under 2,000 followers. But then we discussed and contracts were signed. And for 3 months, I was posting content on my Pinterest page as an official Pinterest creator, like paid. Yeah, it was, I would say that was my first big break.
For date night, I've created the illusion of a skirt suit by matching this pre-loved leather skirt to the leather blazer. And for additional ease, I've added matching pink accessories and it's giving Matrix meets Barbie. Pull out your comfy sliders and pair them with a bodysuit and some trendy cargos for a cool park day ensemble. Bag-wise, I'd recommend carrying a spacious tote to fit your blanket, some snacks, and all your other knickknacks.
So you've been working with Hannah and Georgia from Pinterest, who we love so much.
So much.
Been amazing collaborating with them on this project. Tell us how it's been working with them and, you know, the feedback and how that's influenced your content and your approach to fashion styling.
Well, it's been amazing working with Hannah and Georgia. And I say that to them every single time. That's no exaggeration. It's every time, whether it's in person or it's on a Zoom call or even when I was texting with Hannah at the weekend, because they're just... At Pinterest in general, everybody really cares about everybody. It sounds so cheesy, but that is literally, that's what it is. Like any person from Pinterest, from any team that I've met, everyone is like so genuine, so like into their job. They really care. They want to know about you. They ask questions. Hannah and Georgia are like that times like a million. So they always like put all of us forward for jobs that they feel like, you know, would really suit us and our content. And they know us well, and it's not forced. Like, they know us because we talk to each other and we spend time together, and they create these amazing monthly events where all the creators can come together and, you know, swap ideas or just to socialize. Because even like at the beginning of this year, when they decided to do like monthly Pinterest creator events, they said it in a way like, you know, we know that a lot of you guys, you know, work from home or you work by yourselves, so we just want to have somewhere for you guys to come once a month just to have a chit chat and like spend some time, but also we want to make it useful. So then we've had guests like LTK, like BBC Studio Talent Works. Like it's been amazing.
Let's fast forward to the present. What's your third clip, the one which best represents you and your success at the moment?
My final clip is from my project with BBC Studio Talent Works and Pinterest. So in this video, I demonstrate how to upcycle a vintage leather jacket.
So I'm creating a unique capsule wardrobe. And for this pin, we're going to be upcycling a vintage leather biker jacket. And the original inspiration was actually from the designer Maison Margiela. And they're known for their avant-garde designs, like really cool inspirational pieces. So let's get started. So this is the leather jacket. And I actually found it at a vintage store. I love the fact that it's really oversized, which is very on trend. And it's super worn in. Like you can see, it's really been lived in. So I think it's going to be perfect for this DIY. The first thing we're going to do is degrease it. We're going to use some alcohol wipes to wipe around the jacket lightly, and then when we...
Oh, degreasing leather jackets. I've never heard of that before. Is it so the paint can stick?
Yes, exactly. Because like on a leather jacket, it has like natural oils that like build up over time. So if you're going to add some paint on it, it's best to use alcohol wipes or anything to like strip back anything that's like oily on there. So when you put the paint on, then it will just stay.
Found out something new today. So obviously we know how this collaboration and opportunity came about for you. Can you tell us a little bit about your process of like applying to this?
Well, basically we were told to submit a 2-minute video and an accompanying Pinterest board. So in my mind, I was thinking about like what I would say in my video, but actually I can rewind to the day when BBC Studios Talent Works actually came to Pinterest and like, you know, Katrina and Wes were on a panel where they had a chit chat with Hannah and Georgia, and they told us all about the opportunity and they let us know about the steps to apply. So in that moment, we also had the opportunity at the end of the event to speak to some of like Katrina or Wes or actually Paul. We had the opportunity to have a little one-on-one in a booth. Actually, I remember my original idea, like what I've wanted to do even before this opportunity came up, was to like have my own kind of fashion-based show. So like sharing DIY hacks and styling, interviewing designers, doing vox pops on the street, like speaking to people, talking about new trends, you know, just like a whole thing. But obviously you can't fit that in 2 minutes, and also you can't make a mini series about all of that. So I when I got to finally speak to Paul, I was like, this is my idea and this is my dream and this is what I want to do. Do you have any advice of how I can compress this into a 2-minute video? And he was just like, keep it simple. I was like, right. He was like, if there's, of all the things that there are, all the elements of the show that you want to do, what's the most, not the easiest, but which part of it is the part where people are going to learn something, they're going to take something from and save something? And I was, in my mind, I was like, okay, probably like the DIY and upcycling. I was like, and then he was like, whatever it is, just keep it simple. Don't overcomplicate it. I was like, all right, cool. So I focus on upcycling a wardrobe and like upcycling pieces, clothes around the house and elevating them.
Amazing. Can you tell us a little bit about the process of finding the materials you use and how you managed to create a unique pre-loved capsule wardrobe?
So the process, it was pretty smooth towards the end, but there was a part where I was panicking where I couldn't like find the bits, because basically it was a six part series and it's one upcycling project per episode. So it was a shirt, it's a DIY maxi skirt, a t-shirt, et cetera, et cetera. So in the planning processes, I was told, which made a lot of sense, that we should probably have 2, maybe even 3 of each thing that we're going to do, just in case, you know, for mistakes or in case we need to, et cetera, just to make sure that our backs are covered. So initially I was like, okay, cool, I just need to find one leather jacket, but I needed to find 2 that were super similar, and then 2 pairs of jeans that were the same size. I was particular because I wanted to do Levi's, so there had to be 2 pairs of Levi's. And the t-shirts, I wanted them to be specific colours. So I was like running around Notting Hill, like the vintage shops, Brick Lane, all the charity shops around my area. I had originally planned to like look on some of the online websites like eBay and Vinted, but within the time limits, I didn't trust that the deliveries would come on time. So I was like, no, I have to get out of the house. So I did like literally a tour of all the vintage shops and charity shops in London. But I found everything in the end, and it was fun, to be honest. I documented it on my socials. I was like doing this whole thing like, I'm working on a top secret project, I'll tell you all about it, but I'm just trying to find vintage this and blah, 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 blah. And people were actually like following along because they were like, oh, I didn't know about that vintage shop, or what charity shop is that? So I like made it a whole thing. But it was a fun process, and I was really, really happy with the pieces that I got in the end. And I'm so happy with my capsule wardrobe. I'm not even just saying that, like everyone on the day knows. I was like, they were like, oh, we're ready to film now. And I was like at the row, like, I can't, but look at my skirt. I was like, wow, look at this t-shirt. Like, I can't wait to wear this. So yeah, I loved it.
So you worked with Becky, our wonderful sewing producer. What was it like working with her? Obviously, she has a lot of expertise in the field. I'm not going to lie to you, I didn't know that job existed before Becky.
Me either. I had no idea.
So how did her knowledge and guidance contribute to this project?
Her knowledge and guidance made the series, full stop. Like, I said to Becky 15,000 times, every few minutes, I was like, thank you so much, so much. Because my process of doing DIY is very... it's a bit all over the place. It's like, I'm not a professional, and that's my shtick. I'm like, I'm not a professional. I know how to sew. I can sew in a straight line. I know how to glue and paint and do all this stuff. So like, I do my kind of raggedy DIYs, and I just, you know, I package them up in a nice way. And then people are like, oh yeah, that's great. Whereas Becky, she brought the professionalism and the terminology, and I wouldn't say fixer, she made everything go smoothly. So as we were filming over 2 days. So we filmed the 6 episodes, and we filmed 4 the first day and 2 the second day. Not to say we were limited on time, but, you know, there was a schedule and there were things that needed to be done a certain way. So when we're filming, I would cut, I would do all the stuff, I'd start sewing. But then Becky, as the magician sewing producer that she was, she would like go and finish it off in the back while we started filming the next one. And like, there were so many things that happened, like... I think in my t-shirt video, we kept it in. Like I cut through both layers. I was only meant to cut through one layer, and I swore. And they were like, what? I was like, oh, I'm really sorry. I've done it wrong. And then Becky was like, oh, don't worry. We'll just like, we'll sew it back together. So she made everything run super, super smoothly. It would have been a very different series if she wasn't there. It would have been my raggedy DIY wardrobe, which still would have been fun, but it wouldn't have been as beautiful and glamorous as it is now.
Did you get to keep any of the pieces that you made?
Yes, I got to keep all of them. And they're all my favourite. And my favourite keeps changing because when we finished shooting, my favourite was the T-shirt, the two vintage tees that were like sewn together and spliced in half. That was my absolute favourite, and I've worn it so many times since then. But then when I got home, I just fell in love with the leather jacket with the paint, and I just, even now, it's like still hanging. I'm just like, oh, it's so beautiful. I can't wait for it to be cold so I can wear it. But then now, it's the maxi skirt, so basically I love all of them, but they just all have their season. I'm genuinely very happy with how the wardrobe came out, and I'm glad because I'm really going to wear all of those clothes. I mean, I'm wearing them right now.
Very sustainable of you.
Yeah, thanks.
What was the experience of scripting and recording the voiceovers? Was that something that was new for you?
Yeah, it was new in the fact that I was doing it with people. Like, usually, I wouldn't say I script my voiceovers. Sometimes I'll, like, add notes so that I don't forget certain stuff. But whenever I have tried to script my voiceovers, I sound like a robot, so I try to avoid doing it. But this process, it was pretty smooth, I can tell you, actually. So the plan was, after we finished shooting the video, we were planning to do the voiceovers on the end of the second day. But because we ran out of time because of everything and whatever, we just didn't have time to do it. So the plan was to, that same day, the plan was to go into the car, I don't know whose car it was, and to record the voiceovers in the car. Which in my mind, I was like, sure, yeah, if that's what we're doing, then that's what we're doing. But I was panicking. I was like, oh, like, it's so hot, like, we're all rushing, like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to bring, like, the energy that I would want to the voiceovers if we're going to do it in the car. But luckily, Alex from the production team, he was like, why don't we just, we stop here, we leave it for today, Emily and Sean, why don't you go to Kaz's studio and do the voiceovers there? And I was like, wow, thank you. You just said the best thing right now. I said to him a couple of times, like, thank you so much for suggesting that, because I feel like the voiceovers, they wouldn't have been as good as what they are now if we had done them in the car. But yeah, fast forward to a couple of weeks later, we went to Kaz's fancy studios and we were sat somewhere not similar to this. I had a little mic and my headphones, feeling very professional. It was a bit repetitive, but I guess that's what it is when you're doing voiceovers. And there were times when they were like, give it a little bit more energy. I'm like, I can give my version of energy, but I don't want to sound like a Blue Pizza presenter. Like, okay, guys, here's what I made earlier. Like, this is not my vibe. So yeah, it was an interesting process, but we had a lot of fun. And then I think it turned out all right in the end.
Looking back on the project, what are the key takeaways or lessons you've learned from working on the BBC Studios upcycling series?
I don't know if I'm calling it a takeaway, but what I want to say is that it was great collaborating with others. I was a bit, I'll say nervous about it before, because as I've said a few times, or as any creator who's kind of starting out would know, is that it's just you. You just do it by yourself in the beginning. Well, even that's still what I'm doing now. Like, I have my phone, I film on my phone, then I do what I want, then I edit it how I like and do the voiceover if I want to. Or if I have done all that work and I don't like it, then it never goes anywhere, and that's my choice. But this experience was great, and it was different working with Emily and Wes and Katrina, and like, even in terms of like formulating how we were going to package the series. Because like I said, it was just, I just said I'd like to do some upcycling some clothes. And then through like team chats and like meetings, and it was someone, they were like, oh, why don't we just do a capsule wardrobe? And then I was like, cool. But I would never do a typical capsule wardrobe, which is the have a white shirt and a black pair of trousers you wear all the time, and then a black blazer. I was like, cool, then maybe like more a unique upcycled one. And that's how it kind of went that way. So it was great collaborating with others and like coming up with what I feel like is the best idea and the best version of what the content could have been, because there were other people that were pitching into the ideas. But also sometimes I was like, oh, it was hard to not to let go or to give control. But for example, when we were filming, in my mind I was like, this is, someone else is going to edit this. Like, I'm not going to edit this. I'm not going to see any of the footage. What I'm doing right now, this is all going to be taken, and it's all going to be edited in a way that I'm not going to see until a couple months time, which was a little bit daunting. But obviously you guys know what you're doing. Like, we had like the best team and everyone did an amazing job. But it was a lesson on giving up control and
trusting the process.
Exactly. And I'm really happy with how it turned out, genuinely. But yeah, it was a process. It still is a process. Like, I only just saw the videos for the first time last Friday, And I remember I was waiting, like we're waiting on the email, like, is it coming now? Is it coming this afternoon? Like, I want to see these videos. And the first time I actually watched them, I have this thing where you probably saw just now when watching the clips, I don't want to hear myself. Obviously, I can hear my voice and I do my videos and I press post, but like, I don't want to hear it. So I was watching the videos. So first I watched them on mute, all of them. I was like, okay, visually, yeah, it's great. And then I put up a little bit of the volume. I was like, okay. And yeah, then I was blown away, to be honest. Like, it looks great. And all the feedback so far has been really positive. And the main thing is, I just hope that people actually are inspired by the pins and will save them and will recreate them. Like, that would be the best thing for me. Like, I got a DM when I posted about it yesterday, and then someone was like, oh, I just saw the leather jacket one. I'm going to paint my leather jacket. And I was like, oh, you really? Like, she literally made my day. I was like, please, if you do it, can you tag me? Like, I want to see. But that's what will make me the most happy, if people make their own maxi skirts and patchwork shirts. The reversible tote bag was a bit hard, I'm not going to lie. So I understand if you don't want to make that. But everything else, I think it was pretty straightforward. I would love if people really just did their own versions. That would be great.
So we ask every guest to look into the crystal ball of their future. What do you see, Sean?
I see this really amazing show, whether it's on BBC, on the, you know, TV channels, or if it's online, or it's one of the branches that BBC Studios Talentworks work with. It's going to be this amazing fashion series, yeah, hosted by me. And maybe a co-star, maybe a co-host. I feel like that would be fun to have someone to bounce off of, but it will be sharing fashion tips and tricks, styling tricks, like hacks, sewing, interviewing designers, speaking to people on the streets, like involving other creators as well. That's one thing I forgot to mention earlier, and that's one thing that is so key in my mind, and nobody listen to this, don't steal my idea. I want it to be really collaborative with other creators too, because, and not just fashion, it could be beauty, it could be homeware, like it could be anything, but just something, it'll be fashion based, but we can, you know, we can pull in different genres, but something where creators can come together, share ideas, but then also people can learn something and take something away. I have it in my mind, so when you see it in real life, then you'll be like, oh yeah,
watch this space,
yeah.
Thanks for listening, everyone. If you're interested in knowing more about Sean, you can find her on Instagram at @the_OluwaSeun. That's OluwaSeun. On Pinterest at @TheOluwaSeun. That's TheOluwaSeun. And you can find us, Talentworks, at BBC Studios Talentworks. This has been a Curly Media production on behalf of BBC Studios. See you next time.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.